an Ironic Media production. Visit us at ironicmedia.com.
And once it was in that box, she just left it there for me. And then all the mail was contained and I could come in. That was one where I did come in once a month and I could just come in, open the mail, get through the bills and take care of them without finance charges, interest charges, late fees, all that stuff. And people were paid, vendors and whoever needed to be paid was paid in a timely way. So that made me feel good that we figured that out for them.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Discussions, the podcast for and about caregivers. If you'd like to share your caregiving story with me, I'd love to hear from you. Please call me and leave a message at 310-362-8232 or send me an email at dementiadiscussions.net. Today, my guest is Natalie Stanger. Natalie is a trusted colleague and friend for many years. She is a daily money manager. And without further ado, Natalie, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure to be here with you and whoever is listening.
Before we get into your profession, I don't really know your story. I realize I knew your mother-in-law way back, but tell us your personal story. How did you get into the world of geriatrics?
Yeah, I had a little part-time job with helping somebody whose husband died, and she didn't know what to do with his law practice. She had a lawyer to consult with, but then she had hundreds of files, and she didn't know what to do, and she wasn't very familiar using a computer. And so I would spend a lot of time with her over 4 years to dismantle the law practice, send things back to people as they needed to be required by law. And then I also started helping her become more familiar with how to use her email, how to order something over the internet. She said, "I think I'm done. What will you do if you don't come here anymore?" And I said, "I think there's other people out there that could use my help." And so at the same time, I had been taking care of my mother-in-law, who we moved from Florida to Los Angeles. And I said, wow, I was doing a lot for her. And so I kind of combined those things and started a small business, which has now kept me very busy over the last 20 years, helping people with bill paying and banking and mail management and all kinds of other things that help people where they can't help themselves for various reasons, some because of forgetfulness and some because of other disabilities and some just because they don't even want to and they just want help. Their children live far out of town and so they just want some help. And it's also company. So we work together. I work together with people. I figure out what they need and I modify what I do to what people need. I don't have any particular schedule with what I have to do. It's really what people need. We work together and I end up being part of their families and I just really enjoy meeting them and their children or the other family members and making them feel comfortable.
So is it hard for people to bring in someone like you when bill paying is that seems like maybe a task that someone has done their whole married life, let's say? It's part of their purpose in life, right? To pay the bills. Is it kind of a tough transition sometimes?
Sometimes it is. And sometimes they're just ready to say, oh, I'm so glad somebody else is going to help me with this. And I tread lightly for those people who may be a little more cautious. And then as we establish a relationship, as trust builds, then I can do more for them. Sometimes I eventually meet their I don't do financial planning, but I'll work with the financial planner. So then I meet that person, or I might meet an attorney or the accountant associated with my clients. And I end up being part of their team, which is really what makes it such a nice working relationship.
I bet. So here we just went through tax season. Is that like a common thing for you to do to help people get all of their documents together and send it to their accountant?
Right. Yes, that's my March and April. It's a busy time. Now I have a system. I make sure that everybody gets all those forms that come into the mail. Some come in through email, and I make sure that everything gets to the accountant. I use the tax organizer to compare what they used last year. And then I work with the accountant. What else do you need? And we go back and forth, and I get everything to the accountant. So I try to just take care of all of that. And then the next year, it's a little bit easier once I've done it 1 year. Some people have their accountant or the accountant's assistant, and I just work with all of them. And they end up, after a year or two, they get used to the fact that I'm doing it, and they just contact me directly for all the information. Especially now that things are being more automated and signatures have to be done on computers or scanned documents and whatnot, people just, it's overwhelming. I have a scanner on my phone. I just can scan things remotely, send them off, and everybody gets what they need.
And I would imagine most of your clients are seniors. They're used to things coming in paper form, scanning that whole world of DocuSign.
Technology. Technology is just running so fast, and people get overwhelmed by it, and they're afraid of it, and they feel like it's going to compromise their security, their identity. There's so much identity theft and fraud going out there. Some of these things are actually safer than using the U.S. mail. So I explain to people how that works and assure them or reassure them that it's a safe way to communicate with their accountant or financial advisor or attorney, whoever it is that I'm dealing with.
Yeah, certainly faster, more efficient.
Definitely faster, more reliable. It gets there. You don't have to count on the mail to deliver it. Wait for a certified notice. Things get lost in the mail. There's just so many opportunities for issues. And I think not to diminish the fact that there is internet fraud also, but I think that can be controlled through these, like DocuSign is highly secure and other sites that are highly, highly secure.
Yeah, it works well. Are you contacted mostly by adult children wanting you to help their parents? Like you talked about families out of town. So is that adult children are coming into town, seeing that dad is not so, as my mother used to say, not so I. and realizing dad needs help, mail's piling up, bills are not getting paid. Is that who's calling you, or how are you getting involved with families?
Some of my referrals come from other professionals where like a care manager might notice that there's mail piling up or bills haven't been paid or their own bill hasn't been paid, or an accountant might notice the same thing. Sometimes an attorney calls me where they notice that a client needs help. And then oftentimes it is the family members who call and say, my parents need help, or my mother needs help, or one parent just passed away. And that's the parent who used to pay all the bills and watch the mail. And so the remaining spouse is just overwhelmed and needs some help. And so that's when they call me, and I'll come in and evaluate, assess, and make a plan with the family. So, and sometimes the family's even in town rather than out of town, and they're just too busy. The adult children have their families, or they have very full-time jobs and can be overwhelmed themselves. So it's just kind of to lend a hand so they can, their relationship with their parents can be one of visiting and helping in a more familiar way and not having to deal with the nitty-gritty of paying the gas bill and the credit card bill and those kinds of things.
You make a couple of such great points. This is so common where the person who's always paid the bills has just died and the spouse is left scrambling. That's so common in our world, right?
Yeah. And sometimes it's the children who are going to take it over, and they don't know what's going on in their parents' lives. So sometimes if a parent dies or a parent isn't able to do that anymore, then for whatever reasons, all of a sudden the adult child says, how do I take care of my parent? What do I do? And sometimes I help them learn how to do that. And sometimes I just take it off their plate. and I do that for them. There's no formula. It's really whatever people need.
You don't have to be the one taking it over. You can show them what to do and they can take it from there.
Right. And then sometimes they just want me to come in at tax time to organize it because that's such a stressful time, more details, or they just check in with me from time to time. So we just make those kinds of arrangements because I don't have any formula.
Like, how often do you see families?
So sometimes I see people once a week, and sometimes I see them, I'll set up every other week. I can catch bills every other week. If we put everything on auto pay, which is my favorite thing to do, for some people who have just household bills and nothing else going on, if I get everything on auto pay, I can see them once a month and really capture everything. But it depends on what's going on in the house and what the state is of the person living there, what they need, how many bills they have, what sometimes people have small little businesses going on, or they have, there's all kinds of situations. So I just try to adapt. And some people I don't work in their home. I work remotely. So all the bills come to me or they're all online and I can monitor them. And I just work offsite and I handle everything that way. So there's lots of flexibility.
I see. So maybe once you're going there once a week, you're establishing a relationship and trust, and then over time, getting them bill pay online, automating. And then, I would imagine you could do things remotely. Like, that would probably take a while.
Right. And then that's kind of less time. I can do it. I can do it at 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And it doesn't require driving around town. And then sometimes people don't need me there. And then sometimes people, it's just come whenever you want. I come in, I take care of things, I leave. Like I said, it all depends on the person's situation, how aware they are, how busy they are. Some people have a lot of doctor's appointments. Some people have activities that they're still involved in. Like I said, I try to be as flexible as possible for each client that I meet. And it's always an adventure to find out what every person's life is about. That's the also fun part of my job, as probably for you as well. You meet so many different people. You learn about so many different lives and family situations. You hear wonderful stories. And that's really part of the joy of it.
Absolutely. So it's not just about bill paying. It's getting to know people. And you're right, to hear their life stories. The people are living history. And it's so fun to hear their stories.
Absolutely.
So I guess, some people, I didn't really think about that. Like, some people you're sitting down with and actually working with them to pay their bills. Other people you're probably just going into over time, like just going into their office or whatever, sitting at their desk and paying their bills. And then some people you're not even seeing at all. You're just doing it remotely.
Right. And so one thing that I want to say is that I don't get on anybody's bank accounts. I don't sign anybody's checks. I don't have any authority on spending their money. Some people, I write their checks and the people will sign them. Or I put things on auto pay, but I don't get on anybody's accounts. I don't have any ownership to anything. That would be somebody called a fiduciary, not a daily money manager. So a fiduciary is someone who's licensed by the state. In California, we happen to have one of the stricter, more stringent sets of rules for that, which is a really good thing. So that's kind of another level. That's the next level up in terms of money management, is having a licensed fiduciary do these kinds of things. And that person would be totally remotely and would just take over all the accounting and whatnot.
I see. So they wouldn't have you and a fiduciary. They would have a fiduciary and that person would pay all of their bills, take over all of their accounts.
Right, exactly. Yeah, could make money transfers, all kinds of things that I don't do.
Right.
But it's kind of the next level up.
Got it. So do you work with people who have problems with their memory?
I do. And that sometimes is a challenge, and it's sometimes actually just a real pleasure because it's helping people who need help. And when I work with people with memory loss, I'm, of course, extremely patient. And I try to explain things to them and try to make sure that we handle everything the way it should be handled. I had a client who the wife got a letter from the life insurance company that they were about to lapse the life insurance. And she said, but we didn't get the bill. Well, the husband was experiencing memory loss and they were a little bit in denial of it. And it took me about 6 weeks to find the bills that had been filed in a red file marked red hot. And then he filed them. So none of the bills had been paid. And then they had to contact an attorney and try to figure out how to get that life insurance reinstated, because they were certainly counting on the life insurance that they had been paying all those years. And now that the man was 86 and showing signs of memory loss and possibly and other physical ailments, they were quite concerned that they wanted to have that life insurance in place. So there's all kinds of situations that come up. And so it's good to have an extra set of eyes.
Yeah, dementia does present issues, certainly, yeah, with forgetting to pay bills, paying bills multiple times, right? We hear about people paying bills twice, not writing the check out correctly. There's so many issues that come up. Yeah, misplacing bills, hiding them, all sorts of things.
Right. Sometimes when I think I've seen it all, something else pops up. But that's because we're all human and stuff happens. And so I try to be as understanding and flexible as possible so that we just make sure that everybody gets taken care of. That's the goal. Everybody needs to be taken care of.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we work on a couple of cases together where you're the bill payer and come in every week. And that's not part of my job. I don't do anything with bills, with money, anything like that. So it's so great to have you come in to do that part of it. And I know one of our cases, exactly the situation that you were saying, is it's a couple, both husband and wife have memory loss, and two of the kids live out of town. One lives in town, but is super busy. So they need help with someone to pay the bills and make sure the household runs smoothly.
Right, right. Yeah. And there's so much that goes on in a household that we're not always aware of. And so my spending a few hours there where I'm not invested in the family as a family member, and I don't have the,
the history, right.
Right. The history. It's not my mother. It's not my father. Mm-hmm. I'm not the daughter who grew up in the house. I don't have those attachments. And so I can see it a little more clearly. And sometimes I think it helps, which is when sometimes I'll ask to bring in a care manager like you to help the family, or the care manager contacts me and says, this family needs help with bill paying or mail management, or whichever of the spouses are managing things needs support and help. And so that's when I'm happy to come in and work with the family as the whole family. And I get to know all the children and the grandchildren. And it's really, it's really a lovely thing. I mean, a little irony, I don't know if you know this, but my parents died when I was young. My mother died when I was 9 and my father died when I was 24. And so I don't have adult parents, and I never really had adult parents to take care of. And so I find it sort of a pleasure in my adult life that I am taking care of many older parents. And I, not that I see them as my parents, but I really find it very fulfilling to help these older adults live in their homes and remain as independent as possible.
Absolutely. It's like the parents you never had.
Right. Before. Exactly. Yeah.
That's great. No, I never knew that about you, Natalie. That's a great story. And you know what? The other thing you touched on that I wanted to circle back to, which is letting the family have their role as the children, not the, come on, mom, we got to get this bill paid, or here, sign this check. You're allowing the adult children just to visit, not to have to police the bills, not to have to monitor that. They have to kind of oversee so many things, right?
That's right.
That this is one thing they can take off their plate and let them be, let them have the relationship that they would have without that burden, which is a really great thing. I always say that, I'd love to see you get back to just being the son
Yeah, that makes a big difference. I think it helps the family be more family-like. So when they come together for a Sunday afternoon, watching a basketball game together or Sunday evening dinner or a birthday celebration, they don't also have to go rummaging through the house for mail and bank statements and other things that might be under the couch cushion or whatever. It's just not happening that way. I did have a client who, the first time I came to their home, we were looking for the property tax bill, and it turns out that it had been stuffed in the couch cushion, and the dog managed to get it out, and it was now in about 14 different pieces. And we had to like puzzle it back together so that we could get the information and pay the bill. But so that was a clue. That was a clue that this is something that really needs to be addressed. And that was something that I could help with. And it did take the burden off the children, who did not have to argue with the mom anymore about the mail and whatnot. And it took some time until she was accustomed that the mail went in the box marked mail for Natalie, I think it said. And she knew once it was in that box, she didn't touch it. But if she took it out of the mail slot in the house, it could go anywhere. But if the caregivers put it in the mailbox, it was just a cardboard box that had come with something. And once it was in that box, she just left it there for me. And then all the mail was contained and I could come in. That was one where I did come in once a month and I could just come in, open the mail, get through the bills and take care of them without finance charges, interest charges, late fees, all that stuff. And people were paid, vendors and whoever needed to be paid was paid in a timely way. So that made me feel good that we figured that out for them.
That's so great. How about things like Publishers Clearinghouse? Like, are you getting involved with families who they say, oh, my mom has been paying for these other scams that come up? Do you get involved in that as well?
Well, I can't. Yes, I do. I mean, I try to get people off of junk mail lists. That's one of my side passions. It always seems kind of funny. People get mountains of mail. And if you give a donation to one charity, they sell your name to other charities. And then because then the charity makes money. But meanwhile, people are being inundated with mail. And I do try to get people off of those mailing lists. And it's a little bit of time, but it's a success. And it unburdens the mailbox and the papers in the house. And I do try to limit all of those kinds of things. I do that as well for cell phones. You can, you know, get off of the text messaging from cell phones. A lot of seniors are vulnerable to answering text messages or email or telephone calls because they're lonely and somebody's calling them. And so they're willing to talk to them. And we just want to make sure that they stay safe and they don't give that confidential information like social security numbers and bank account numbers over the phone, in an email, in a text. Unfortunately, there's so many bad characters out there and we want to limit that, of course, with anybody, but in particular to seniors who sometimes can't make the distinction between the good people and the bad people.
And I'm sure I find this when I go visit seniors, the phone is ringing. I'm sure you hear it too. The phone is ringing and they're answering, hello, hello. And we're in our mind, we're thinking, just hang up or don't answer. And, you know, hoping exactly. They're going to handle it appropriately. And most of them do. Most people handle it appropriately, but there's always that time that you worry they're not going to.
I did have a client who she was lonely and she was also not making good decisions. And so even though she had been manager of a legal office for 40 years, so she was clearly a very capable person, but many years later in her retirement, she was not making good decisions for her finances. And when somebody called her on the phone and said that she should wire some money, she listened to him and she went and wired some money and then wired some more money and then took a loan on her life insurance to get some more money. And it took a while until the children who lived out of town figured out what was going on. Clearly, she had many judgment issues and needed the phone number changed and needed to stop living on her own because she did have this memory loss and cognitive issues. we have to stay in touch with our seniors very closely to make sure that they're not being
taken really advantage of. Yeah, they're vulnerable, right?
Very vulnerable.
Absolutely.
Very vulnerable. But with good eyes, people can remain and should remain as independent as possible, because that adds to their quality of life. But they need to be watched.
Absolutely. Yeah. So how do I find a daily money manager?
There's a National Association of Daily Money Managers, and it's called the American Association of Daily Money Managers. There's a website. On that website, you can, there's a little button. It's called Find a DMM for Daily Money Manager. And there's a zip code search, and you can find people all over the country, including in Hawaii and a few in Canada, interspersed. It's a growing organization. We have a certification. So some of the members are certified. I'm a certified member, which means that I took many classes, took a test, was overseen by other people, and signed a code of ethics for what I do. And I continue to do continuing education to keep up on what I need to know about insurance and finances and accounting and all these things to just continue helping people. The association has great resources for its members. It's brought a lot to me in terms of what I know, and it's helped me a lot with my clients. So I'm really happy to be part of that organization.
Yeah, so all over the country. That's great.
Yes, definitely. All over the country, and it's growing. So we're happy to have people find us that way. And I do find some clients that, well, many of my clients are from personal referrals or from professional referrals, like care managers or accountants or attorneys. Some people do call me. They found my name on the website and they call me and we meet, and it's been also great relationships, and I'm happy to help and get involved that way.
So good to know. It's great to know about, I'd had no idea about your profession until I met you. You hear about, like, people have bookkeepers, right?
Right. A lot of bookkeepers do what I do, and they're just not, they may not be aware of this association, American Association of Daily Money Managers. And so they fell into it somehow, and they just continue, they get referrals from other people, and they're happy to just do it on their own. But I really enjoy the support of this organization because I continue to learn and get updated on new laws that come into effect, or just have the resources of other daily money managers to bounce ideas off of and to learn from. And I'm always happy to be part of that.
I like that thought that you become part of the team, that you're not taking over. You're becoming part of the family team, part of the team of accountants and lawyers in the family, whoever is already established. You're being integrated into the system. So that's a good thought. You're not coming in and taking over by any means. You're just,
oh, no, I'm just one little cog in the wheel. And there's a lot of cogs, and that's what helps people. That's all part of all of our lives. I mean, if you think about it, we all have helpers, and we all need to just keep the helpers close to us to make us all, even in my own family, we have helpers. Everybody does something a little bit different, and everybody contributes. And so I'm happy to do that, be part of that with another family as well.
Yeah, that's great. And you're right. We all need that to maintain our independence. Incorporating help is not a sign of failure or weakness. It's a way to keep us at home, keep things running, keep things going. And the more we can recognize, like, accept that, yes, we have trouble with our memory over time, or trouble with our organizational skills over time, and to bring someone in, it's okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's okay. Is there anything else you want to bring up?
The only other thing I would say is for people listening to think about, if you're looking for a daily money manager, the thing to do is to ask questions of people and to get referrals, so that, because you're bringing somebody into your personal life, into your home or to your parents' homes, and you want to be sure that you trust them, and you want to be sure that they're going to do the right thing for you. And so you shouldn't be afraid to ask enough questions so that you are comfortable with who's ever going to be there to help you.
And what sorts of questions? Like, what are you thinking?
Well, I think it's a good questions to ask. Well, how do you work? What do you do? How would you help my parent with their checkbook or with their accounts? Or what do you do when there's a problem? Or how do you handle a potential scammer? How many years have you been doing this? Who else do you team up with? Can I have a referral? I'll tell you this, in 20 years, people have asked me for referrals, and I give them generally an adult child or a client who I've worked with and who I have a good relationship with, and no one's ever called them. And I'm always surprised. I tell the client my referrals. I say, so-and-so may call you, expect a call. And they're like, oh, fine, no problem. I'm happy to tell them how honest you are. And then three weeks later, they'd say, no one ever called. No one ever called. And I'm like, that is just the weirdest thing, that people would trust that. I'm glad that I come off as trustworthy. But the fact is there are bad actors who can come off as trustworthy who aren't. And so you do want to check your referrals. You want to make sure that the people are who they say they are and that they're going to do what they say they do. And that's why part of, I guess, using this association as a referral source, you know, they've been background checked to be a member of the American Association of Daily Money Manager. You have to go through a background check, the fingerprinting and all of that. So that does create a level of security. But I think it's important to do that.
Yeah, really good point. And I guess the other thing we didn't cover is your charge. So is it an hourly fee? Is it a monthly fee? How does that work?
For the most part, it's an hourly fee. And if I work in somebody's home, I have a 2-hour minimum because I'm traveling to their home and I have to make it kind of worth my time getting there and setting up and working with the people. And generally by 2 hours, people are kind of pooped out and spent. And so that's how I got to that 2-hour thing. Sometimes I work longer. Sometimes I'll be at a client's house for 3 or 4 hours once or twice a month. It depends on how people are. If they can handle it, we go longer. If not, we just keep it to the 2 hours. And then when I work offsite, it's just whatever the time is that I put in, and I charge hourly. And different daily money managers charge different rates. So it depends on where they might be in the country, what their own situation is. They might also be a CPA. Sometimes they have other credentials. So that's just an individual thing.
How about, like, if people say, you know what, I don't need help with my bills, but I just need help organizing. Is that something you guys do too?
Well, that's a good question, because I do get a lot of those kind of questions. So I am not a closet buster. That's what I colloquially call it. But I mean, if in the course of working, somebody needs help to clean out like old tax files and they don't know what to throw out and what to keep, I will help do that as well. But I won't go into somebody and organize their closets and get rid of the clothes and donations and all that kind of stuff. I won't do that. But I can refer to very lovely organizers who are part of another association, the National Association of, now they're called Productivity and Organizers, NAPO, and they do organizing. It's sort of a different specialty.
Got it. So you wouldn't just go in and organize papers and files. I mean, if you need to in the course of paying someone's bills, yes.
Exactly. So I can either keep people's files the way they are. I try not to change it entirely, because if people are used to filing in a certain way, I keep their files that way, because changing is not a good idea. But if they have no organization, I can set up their files, and I will do that with their bills and with their bank statements and all of that. So organizing for their money management stuff, I will organize. But organizing their closets, no. You know, their kitchen, no.
Right. You can walk into a house in complete disarray, but at least you'll know their financial, their bills are being paid.
So. Exactly. And the papers are in the right place and I can find them. And sometimes I'll go buy a box at the office supply store and keep all the files in a special box for that client, because maybe it's really a mess. And so I'll keep that or keep that organized. But then we'll call in an organizer to take care of what else is going on in the house.
Okay, that's good to know.
I'm glad we got to that.
Yeah.
could be essential for some people.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, Natalie, thank you for being here today. It's always a pleasure to see you, a pleasure to talk to you. And I so enjoy collaborating on cases with you. So thank you for sharing your wisdom and how you help your clients. So thank you.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure to collaborate with you and my pleasure to be here this morning and share these thoughts with you and with your audience. And hopefully it helps one or two or 10 or however many people.
Thank you for joining us today on another episode of Dementia Discussions. If you're a caregiver or know someone who's a caregiver that would like to be a guest on the show, please call me at 310-362-8232 or go to dementiadiscussions.net/contact and let me know. I would love to have you. Remember that you can follow Dementia Discussions on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many more. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, it would mean a lot if you would leave me a review. For any other information about this podcast, please visit me at dementiadiscussions.net. And please share this podcast with someone you know if you think it may help. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you here again next time on Dementia Discussions.